to observe, to look at the world around you, to look at the universe around you, to look within yourselves. And in these things you will find signs, clear signs, for people who reflect, for people who have wisdom, and for people who understand. In the alternation of the night and the day, in the ships which sail on the ocean, carried by the winds, in the rain that falls, in the crops and the different fruits and the different foods which we eat, in these things and other things, there are signs for those who are wise, for those who understand, for those who reflect. Signs of what? They are signs to show that there is a creator, there is a Lord, there is a sustainer. That these things could not have come into existence by themselves, because we don't find in the human experience something just coming from nothing. We don't find things just coming from nothing. We don't find order spontaneously arising out of chaos. Rather, our human experience tells us that when we see something ordered, working according to laws, working according to patterns, working in a system, then our human experience tells us again and again and again that someone or something has ordered it and systemized it and made it work according to these laws and patterns. This is why an archaeologist can go into the desert, and this archaeologist could find a small piece of pottery. A small piece of pottery. But from this small piece of pottery, the archaeologist will tell us so many things. He'll be able to tell us the state of technological ability of the society and the people who made that pottery. Why? Because he will say, in order to be able to make the clay and to bake the clay, they must have been able to build ovens. And in order for the ovens to reach sufficient temperature for that clay to be baked, they must have been able to have this level of technological ability. And then he may say, and this clay, we don't find it in this area. In fact, this clay only comes from a such and such place, so many hundreds of miles. So we know they must have some system of transportation. And then maybe the person could look at the artwork or the writing, and then more things they could tell us about those people who built this piece of pottery, who made this clay and shaped it and fashioned it. So for this archaeologist, the existence of this piece of pottery is a conclusive proof of the existence of the people who made it. He doesn't need to see them. He doesn't need to see their town. He doesn't need to see their ovens. He doesn't need to see any of those things. The piece of pottery proves to him the existence of these people, and also proves to him the state of their knowledge and intelligence. That's why we look at things today. Pieces of incredible, technologically complex machinery. And that makes us understand something about the level of scientific knowledge and achievement of the society that has made them. And then, if these things also not only are functional, but they are also beautiful, that they are aesthetically pleasing, then we have a higher state of appreciation of that society. Because not only do they have technological ability, they have qualities that appreciate beauty and art and so on and so on and so forth. For to us, all of this is a proof of the existence of the people who made it, of their knowledge and their intelligence. Why? Because we don't find something coming from nothing. None of us would believe that this glass spontaneously came into existence through a processes of chance and coincidence. Even if we believed that, for example, we claimed that this glass was found in a volcanic area where there was a volcano surrounded by sand, and the volcanic explosion heated up the sand, and a piece of glass which was formed from the sand flew up into the air, and it came down and it landed, and then the rain fell, and then the waves washed it until eventually we had this glass formed here.